Amen. Praise the Lord. I really love that song too, Faithfulness, man. I know our God is faithful, amen. He is very faithful. I know you guys have been standing for a long time, so let's go directly to the Word and I'll go to work. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Listen to that. There shall not be any man stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this place. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in this kingdom, God. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, to use me this morning, God, as your minister, Lord, as your mouthpiece, Lord. I ask you, Father, to anoint the ears of the people that's listening, God, and bless every household represented in this place today, God. Lord, help us to understand where we are going, and which direction that we are headed to, God. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, to use me this morning, to move me out of your way, Lord. And all these things, I never want to fail to give the praise to the matchless name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys my disclaimer too. Reading Joshua, there's a whole lot of words that I will not ever pronounce. I'm not even going to attempt it, okay? So I'm gonna paraphrase a lot of things of Joshua, but I ask you to read it yourself. Because the pastor has told us, if you don't believe me, read the word. Because I'm preaching out of the word of God, amen. I'm not trying to make something up here. I'm not trying to put something together, a show. I'm preaching the word of God, and I've got a word laid on my heart that the Lord has laid on me. And I feel it in my spirit. I felt it. The church, I don't know if for the visitors that don't know, we have a podcast, and I ask you to please go back and listen to the sermons that have been preached from this pulpit. The Lord is changing us in a direction that He's showing us where we're supposed to live, or how we're supposed to live, and who I am in Him. Amen. If you listen to the religious status quo of everything else, that we go to church and we check a box on Sunday and we come to Wednesday and we check a box and we go on, but we don't have no relationship with Him. He's wanting us to have a relationship with Him, a one-on-one personal relationship. There's going to be one day coming that I am going to stand before a just God, and I'm going to look at Him face to face, and my pastor is not going to be there for me. My pastor will not be there. I will not be there as my children's advocate. I will not be there as my wife's. This is a personal relationship. It's a personal walk. But that's not even that the direction that I want to go. The direction I want to go is that we have got a Joshua that went before us. Amen. We have got a Jesus that died on Calvary for us. That we've got this made. I don't know if you know this or not, but you have got it made. We have got this so made that the devil hates the church. He hates everything that we stand for. He hates everything about us, because if we realize how made that we really have it, man, you better watch out, devil, because we're coming. Amen. To give you a backstory here for the people that don't really know the story, I don't want to ever pass that up. Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage of 400 and some years. It was 400 and some years of bondage that somewhere around 1.8 to 2.2 to 2.7 million people escaped out of Egypt. It was called the Mass Exodus, the greatest jail escape ever created on earth, or ever had on earth, right? God called Moses and he said, I want you to lead these people. And the people murmured and the people complained and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They wandered around in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 long years. They went through some things, right? We've read the stories. For you that don't know it, I asked you to read the story. But they went through some serious events in their life. They went through some things that I will never go through, I hope. I hope that I'm never one of those that's out there eating bread off that comes out of heaven, right? And if I get too much, it's going to grow worms in it. I don't know about that. I wouldn't want nothing to do with that. But they went through some things. And Moses, in his aggravation one day, he got mad and he smote the rock when I don't want to mess that up. God didn't speak to him to smite the rock, but he did it anyway. And God told him he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. He could see it. He could walk up to the border of it, but he could not enter into the promised land. But then now here we have this man, Joshua, that God has anointed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. We've got this Joshua that is called of God to lead his people to the place of promise that was promised to Abraham years and years and years before. Years before any of this ever happened, Abraham never seen this day that his children walked into the promised land, the place that God had told him years ago that I will make you a nation. I will make you a father of many nations is what he said. He didn't get to see this day, but Joshua, here he is. God calls him and he tells him that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Think about that. Every single place that my foot steps upon, that is mine in the name of Jesus. Let's think about what Joshua, how he really thought about it, because land is a big deal back then. Land was huge. Land is still a big deal now. Don't get me wrong. It's nothing like what it was then, though. Land to them people was like gold. The more land you had, the more wealth you had. The more reserves that you had, the more things you could do. So the more land that they got for this 2.2 odd million people had a place to live, the more land that they had, the more powerful the children of Israel became. So he told him, he said, every place that the sole of your foot steps upon, that have I given unto you. And he names off all the places. And I told you, I'm not able to pronounce all these names, and I'm not even going to attempt. But the thing that he did was he had to go through a bunch of battles. A bunch of battles. If the way that I studied this out and counted them up, there was 31 kings that Joshua and the children of Israel defeated. One of them is the famous Battle of Jericho. Everybody knows that one. That's the famous battle where the walls were so big and Joshua told them to march around it for 6 days and don't say a word. And on the seventh day, we're going to cry out and the walls came tumbling down, right? That's a famous battle we know. But there was 30 more beyond that one that he had to fight that we really don't understand. We really don't see the in-depth of how much battle that they did to conquer this land. But Joshua did this, and he done this and with a purpose in mind, a purpose in heart of in his heart saying, I've got to conquer this land because the Lord has promised this land to me. The Lord has promised this land to all of us. We're going to live in this nation. We're going to thrive here. Once we get this whole nation under, once we get this promised land that is promised to us in our grasp, we're going to have it made. Amen. So I'm here to tell you this. Let's put this on this side of this, on this side of us right now. We have got a Jesus that went before us. And every place that the sole of his foot touched is his. So if I am with him, that means every place that he has been also belongs to me. So therefore, I can walk in authority. I can walk in a power that is not of my own. I can walk in authority and a power in the name of Jesus Christ. And I can say, I don't have to take back seat to no devil, amen. I don't have to take back seat to no, I am a child of the living God, amen. Hallelujah. So Joshua was around 110 years old at this time. It was Joshua 18:3. Give me that scripture. Joshua 18:3, Joshua says this, and he was around 110, 120 years old. I'm getting my notes mixed up. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go possess the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, have given you? How long are we going to sit around? How long are we going to just sit here and look at this? The pastor said this Wednesday, how long are we going to walk around this mountain? How long are we going to dwell here? How long? Because he said, I know what God's going to give you. All you got to do is just go. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Stop looking. And just follow Jesus. Amen. Just go after him because he's called us to walk in an authority. He's called us to walk in a newness of life. That we don't have to walk in a status quo of this world. We can walk with our heads up and know that I'm a child of God. Just like the pastor said this morning in Sunday school, when you walk into the room of the workplace that you work at, you ought to change the atmosphere. You ought to know, everybody ought to know that you are in the room because I carry something in me that's not of this world. I carry a power that is beyond this world. Amen. I've got a God that lives inside of me and and I just want him to overflow through me. Amen. In every single place that I go, I want the sole of my feet, whatever I step upon, to be in his name. Amen. Hallelujah. And if Christ really is in me, then I want him to flow through me. Because we live in a world that's sick. We live in a world that's demented beyond anything we could have ever imagined. It's awful. Every place that you turn, everywhere you look, you see something that's just vulgar. It's terrible. We live in a place like that, but we've got a God that called us to walk different than that. We should be the ones that everybody else is looking at saying, what have they got that we're missing? Because I'm here to tell you this. I want to tell you this one thing, and I'm not going to dwell on my testimony long, but I promise I'm going to leave it brief. I'm getting ordained today. I kind of briefly gave a little testimony this morning in Sunday school, but years, my life was in bondage. Years of living through filth, living through all kinds of things that was not of the means that I was raised in. I was living through places and seeing things that I should have never seen, but God delivered me from it. August the 30th, 2014 was 10 years ago. That was the last time that I ever had a beer touch my lips. The very last time. So I'm able to stand up here today to tell you that God is real. And God's power is real. And he's able to set you free from anything that's holding you down. There's not an addiction that's too strong for my God. There's not nothing. There's not a fence that he can't climb over. There's not a mountain that he won't cross. There's not a valley that he won't go through. Because he's real, amen. He's real. So August the 30th, 2014, I was sitting in a football stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, drunk out of my mind and trying to live right. I had gave my life to the Lord earlier in the year. That same year I had gave my life to the Lord. And I was struggling. I struggled. I couldn't help it. It was an addiction. I struggled. But I was sitting at a table with some friends that we was all gathered around. And they're all drinking. And they're all doing other. And we're just having a hee-haw time. But I felt something pulling in my heart that was telling me that there's something greater than this. There's something way better than this. So I'm here to tell you that there's not a high, there is not a drunk that you can ever achieve that will even amount to the inkling of what God has in store for you. Not one thing that you can do on this earth is better than what God can do for you. So I'm telling you from experience, living a life of bondage, what God can do when he brings you out of bondage, amen. That I know that I'm free, and I know my scripture is whomsoever the Son has set free is free indeed, amen. That I can stand up here today wholeheartedly telling you that even though I went through one of the most tragic events I've ever been through in my life, I never resorted to alcohol. I never gave it a thought, and that is awesome to me. That is so good to me. What a God. It was a couple years ago, 7, 8, 10, 9, I don't know. We was at church up on the other hill where we was at. And the pastor asked me to testify, and it was January the 1st or the 2nd. And I said, man, I'm so glad that I woke up this morning and no hangover. That might not mean nothing to none of you guys, but it means something to me. It has been 10 years since I woke up with a hangover, amen. That's what my God can do. That is what my God can do. Hallelujah.
So back in this direction of Joshua, we've got Joshua here standing here telling his people, hey, listen, God is able to give you anything your heart desires. We just got to follow after him. So when he says to them, this hit me, man, it hit me in the chest hard. When he said, Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go possess the land which the Lord has given you? To give you a little bit of a backstory of what happened, what he's missed here. Yeah, he's conquered 31 kings. He's conquered a whole lot. But there's some people in the land that he just settled with them being there. He just settled with them being there. He's like, they're not really that important, because these 31 kings was huge. Their kingdoms was big. They was big kings. But there was little things still left in the land here and there and here. And the children of Israel got okay with it. They was like, it's all right. They've been here since we got here. They're okay. It's just a little bit. It's not that much. But it turned on them. It ended up turning on them. And Israel paid for it. The children of Israel paid for this for years and years later. So I'm here to tell you, whatever is in your land, you need to get it out of there. Whatever has you bound in any avenue whatsoever, no matter what it is, if you think it's just a little thing, I just want to dabble in it a little bit, it's okay. No, it's not okay. If it's not of God, we need to get it out of there. Amen. Because Solomon said it like this. He said it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's not these great big things. Yeah, there's big things that come along that just hit you like a ton of bricks, man. They could just knock you down. But there's the little things, little bit by little bit by little bit, starts eating at you over and over and over till next thing you know, you turn around, you don't even have any power to pray. Who's been there? I've been there. We've all been there. We've all been in this place where we've let the little bit of filth of the world come in little by little by little. But it's okay, because it's where I live. It's okay because it's just what everybody else is doing. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible tells us to come out from among the world and be a separate people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That's what he tells us to do. So we don't have to live in this place where we just halfway possess the land. No, it's time for us, the children of God, to possess what God told us to possess. Amen. It's time for us to live in Christ in full. Amen. Read to you what a guy said in a book that I really enjoyed, and I want to share it with you. It says this: what the land was to Israel, Christ is to us. Mapped out on the pages of God's word is all the territory which we are to possess. Think about that. Everything that we read in this scripture right here, it's a map. It's mapped out for us. It's ours. It's ours. When he said you can walk in freedom, you really can walk in freedom. And I'm a firm believer, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. I don't have to walk in bondage. I don't have to walk in any kind of, I don't care what it is. You can put any label on it you want to. We are the children of God. We're called to walk in liberty. We're called to walk in this freedom that he called us to walk in. Amen. So as the land was, so is the word of God to us. We're to possess every page of the word. We need to get this. If you don't have a relationship with the word, I'm telling you, you're losing. You're losing. And I love quoting this, and I've quoted this to many times that I preached. Our elder told us a long time ago, he said, if you live your life on a breadcrumb every single day, just take your daily scripture. Yeah, I get it every morning. My daily scripture. Yeah, I got it. Check. Cha-ching. Good to go. All day long now, I'm going to live on that one word, that one scripture. I'm going to make that my whole day's appetite of the word. How long are you going to survive if you're living off of breadcrumbs? You're not going to. You're going to falter. You're going to give in. You think the temptation just comes on and just knocks you down and you lose? You lose because you're just because you're human? No, that's not it. We don't have to give in to temptation. We do not have to give in to temptation. Let me say that again. You do not have to give in to temptation. If we are truly in Christ, and he was without sin that knew no sin, he is in us, then he's given us all the power to walk without temptation, or to walk through the temptation. He's called us to possess the land that we're living in. And the land is him. To finish what he said here, he said, and it is true for every one of us that there is yet much land to be possessed. Our inheritance is in
Our inheritance in Christ is not part of Christ, but all of Christ. Think about that. Our inheritance in Christ is not part of Christ, but it's all of Christ. I want all of Christ in me that I can fit. I want every single ounce of my fiber of my being to be flowing with the Holy Ghost. I want Him just to be through me, saturated in me, that when I walk around, people know that I'm here, amen. Not because of me, but because of Him, amen. We are called to be apostles or epistles to men. All of them, everybody is going to look at you. And we're going to be read of men is what the Bible says. It tells us we're living epistles of Christ to be read of all men. Galatians 4:7 says this, 4 through 7 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We have got an heirship with Him. We have got a place with Him. And I know that the direction that the pastor's been leading us, who are you? Who are you? Think about it. Who are you? I know that I'm the son of Kenny O'Neill. And looking at me, looking at him, you know, he's a little older than I am. He's not as good looking as me. Sorry, I couldn't help it. I had to bust him. Because he would say the same. But looking at him and looking at me, there is a resemblance. I don't want to resemble Kenny. I don't want to resemble him. I want you to know my Father which is in heaven. Because my children, I want them to look at me and know my relationship with my God and follow suit after that. I don't want them to look like me. I want them to look like Jesus. Hallelujah. And because you are sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I've got a spirit inside of me, a nature change, amen, that I no longer want to dabble with the stuff of the world. I don't want those things. I want Jesus, hallelujah. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That is awesome to me to think about, that I am an heir. I am an heir to Christ. The one who gave it all. The one who done it all when I didn't deserve it. When none of us deserved what He did for us. He did it anyway. He laid that down anyway. He done it for us so that you and I can walk in authority and walk in freedom. Hallelujah. We can walk in this freedom. And if you have a stronghold in your life, this has been my prayer for the last month. God revealed to me the strongholds that are holding me back. God will reveal them to you, but be careful. You better be ready. Because there's some sacrifices. There's some things that you got to lay down that your flesh is not going to like. It's not going to like it at all, but I promise you, once you lay down and you let God take over the stronghold that's holding you back. There's a place in the children of Israel, whenever they looked out and they seen all the land was occupied by this and that, but they conquered part of it. They only conquered part of it. The devil had his seed planted all over the place, and it turned on them. So I'm here to tell you, I'm asking you to search out your strongholds in your life. Search out those places in your life that you've never given to God. You know, I don't know who all said it, but it's been said before that we've all got this certain room that we've got in our house. So we'll invite everybody else into this part of the house, but we won't let them go in here. Mainly because we take all the junk that's in this room and we put it all in this room. But I'm not going to invite you over here. I don't want you in this room. This is mine. And what I got in here is just between me and me. That's it. Nobody else. You guys can dwell all you want to over here. Jesus, I want you to have all this, but not this. Not this little space. This is my only little space. This is the only place in my life that I let a little bit of sin occupy. This is the place in my life that I only let a little bit, just a little bit. I just want to entertain just a little bit. And next thing I know, I'm just over here entertaining this, and I look, and I'm so far removed from Christ. I'm so far removed from Christ that I have trouble getting back. But He called us to possess all the land. He wants to possess all of the land. Every single place in my life, I want to give it to Him.
So I've been praying that God revealed to me the strongholds, revealed to me the places in my life that have been there that I'm familiar with. Because think about Joshua and the children of Israel. I'm sure that on passing in the streets or something, they would see a Canaanite and they was like, hey, man, what's up? I know you. You're civil. He's civil. He ain't fighting me. But you cause war to happen and see which side turns. See which way your friends that you think are friends, see which way they really go. When the pressure really comes around, see who your friends are. You know, you got friends that say, oh, come on, man, let's go do this, let's go do that. And you're like, okay, yeah, I can go do that. But whenever all hell comes against your life, is that friend standing beside of you praying with you? That's the kind of friends that you need in your life. You don't need the friend that's only flaky, it's only there every now and again. You need somebody. Jesus said it like, the Bible says it like this, we got a friend that's closer than a brother. And he has never left me and he's never forsaken me. He said, and that's a promise to me. And I hold on to that promise knowing that I am a child of God. That he is mine. He is mine. So what I said at the very beginning of this, we have got it made, we just don't realize it. We have got this whipped, we just don't realize it. The pastor said Wednesday, and I know I quote the pastor all the time, but he's the man of God in my life, and I'm thankful for him. But he said this, he said, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we can live in a realm here that there is peace. If you don't have peace, you better hit your knees. Because I have been in the middle of storms, middle of trials and temptations, but have peace in the middle of those. And it's only by the grace of God that I have that. It's only through Him that I can find that. I will never find it in a bottle. I will never find it in a pill. I will never find it on my phone. I will never find it through my friends. I will never find it through a hobby. You're only going to find true peace through Him. You're only going to find it through Him. So whatever is in your land that you have not possessed, I'm asking you to search it out. Search your land. Look through your past. Look through your land and see where are you coming up short at? What is causing you to falter? God will reveal it to you. He will reveal everything. Man, He's faithful. Just like they're saying, He's faithful. So we've got a God that if you ask Him, faith, believe, and He'll reveal it to you. Yeah, I could sit and say, man, I got this whole thing figured out. I know that, man, once I just do this and I do this and do that, but I'm doing it wrong. He's already done this. I just got to rest in Him. I got to go with Him. I got to say, God, whatever it is, whichever way you want me to go, Lord, let me follow you. I can't do this in my own strength. I will never be able to do this right here in my own strength. But whenever Jesus shows up and he has wrecked my world. I don't know if you could tell it or not. But I can tell you this right here. We are not going out of this world under anything but the blood of Jesus. Do you understand what that means? That means that nothing is above you. The only thing we're going out here under is the blood of Jesus. I'm not going out underneath sin. I'm not going out of here underneath anything that the world has to offer. I'm going under the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that I'm under. So Jesus, or Joshua, magicians, you can come. I didn't say magicians. I got a thing on my tongue. Joshua, when he said, every place that the sole of your foot has touched is yours. Every place, you claim it in the name of Jesus. But we've got a Joshua that already went out before us. It's not my job to walk out here and claim this and claim that. I've got a God that already did it. He's already made it. So when I say, God, I claim victory over this, He's like, dude, catch up. I already got the victory. He's saying, just get in me. Just get in me. That's all you got to do. If you want to overcome temptation, get in me. That's what He's telling us. He said, you can walk in a newness of life if you walk in me. Amen. I don't have to walk under my own strength. I can walk through Him. Because when, you know, there's a saying out there, or a picture or a poem of whatever them things are called, that there's only two tracks in the sand. And I went somewhere with God and came back and it was Him carrying me. That really is true. When you think you got the, when you think you're all alone, I'm here to tell you, you're never, ever, ever alone. You're never alone. God is always with you. I'm living proof of it. I'm living proof that He said, I would never leave you and I would never forsake you. I know. You can't convince me any otherwise. You will never convince me that the blood of Jesus isn't enough. You'll never convince me of that because I know. I know what God done. Amen. But my prayer has been this, and it's and I'm not changing it. I want God to show me the strongholds in my life. I want God to show me the places in my life that I'm empty, that I need filled by Him. I want God to reveal those things to me, because when I go out of here, I want to go out of here with as many of my friends as I can. And I want something to be different in me, that whenever they see me, they want, man, I want to know what Jason has. I want to know what's in him. I want that power that he walks in. I want that authority that he walks in. Because Jesus is not coming after a weak little anemic church. He's not doing it. He's coming after a bride that has made herself ready, a bride that's not limp-wristed and all sissified about it. We've been through some things. We know we've been through some things, but we never went through it alone. Don't think on your own strength that you're still standing here. You're here because of God carried you here. You're here because He took the battle for you. He's got the victory for us. And the last scripture I'm going to leave you with is 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's strongholds that can be in your life that God will pull them down. He will break every single yoke of bondage, and I believe that. I believe that. I don't think that even if it's just a little bitty tiny thing, it's just God will break that too. God will break everything that is not of Him. If you desire Him, He said, if you seek after me with your whole heart, I'll be found of you. And I want my whole heart to be with Him. I don't want to be just tempted of the world and be like, man, I'm just going to get weak for a minute and give in. I don't want to give in. We don't have time to give in. We don't have time. We've got people that are dying and going to a devil's hell. We don't have time to give in. We've got to give Him His due credit. Last scripture, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you think about that, every single time you have a carnal thought, bringing it to the obedience of Christ. Every single time you have a temptation come along for you to go somewhere you shouldn't go or look at something you shouldn't look at, bring it into the obedience of Christ. Bring that thought into Him and say, really, as cliche as it is, what would Jesus do? We have got victory already, people. We've already got the victory. We've already got the land. He's already possessed the land. And everywhere we go, it's His. Every single step that I take, the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, or the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I've got a place with Him that every place that I go, I don't go alone. I go with victory and I go with power because He's my God and my King. And I've given Him the rightful place in my life. And I know that without a shadow of a doubt that He's with me. And I want Him to go with each and every one of us. So I ask you while they sing this song and we give Him another moment of worship, that you will seek out your own life. Seek your life. Look into your life. Look at every single place in your life. Every place. Let's all stand. Every single place in your life. If there's a place in your life that you have not given to Jesus, I'm asking you to give it now. And some of us know them. They're obvious. Some of us know the place that we've never given. Some of us know exactly what's holding us down, and we've just not given it to Him because we're just afraid, or we're just a little bit backwards about it, or we don't want people to think nothing. I don't care what people think about me. I want to make it to heaven and I want to worship Him, but I want to be with Him right now. I want to walk what He's called me to walk in right now. Not just in heaven, not just in a when He calls us home. I'm talking about walking in it now. So if you've got a place in your life that you have not given to Jesus, I implore you. The altars are open, and it's not a place of shame. This is a place of power. This is a place of rejuvenation in Jesus Christ. You know, you can pray any place you want to, just like the pastor says, you can. You can pray anywhere, but there's something about coming to the altar under the conviction of the Lord. There's something about it. There's liberty that can take place in your life of something you've never experienced before, a place that you've never walked in before. And I'll shut up with this. When I lay down at night, I can lay down with my head or with my conscience completely clear. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about what's going on next door, nothing. I just worry about just being with Him. I'm at peace. I have got a peace that passes all understanding. So not even just to the sinner, but to every saint in here, if you've got a place that you've not given fully to God, I ask you to give it to Him. Possess the land that He's given us. Amen. Hallelujah.